Good morning, everyone. We seriously just got started. I want to welcome everybody watching online on Facebook. We consider you an extension of the family. We are at Norwood. We are in Norwood. If you don't know where that is, it's a small little town in New York, up near Canada. But if you do know where that is, we are across from the Lobster House in Norwood, and we'd love to have you come see us. If not, please enjoy the message today. Feel free to correspond with us through Facebook or check out norwoodfmc.com for 6 years of sermons for free that you can listen to. So today, we've been hanging out on a lot of kind of interpersonal stuff recently. Last week, we talked about shame, fear, and control, and who gets to define you. And with some thoughts we pulled out were you get to choose what you believe about you, but only one person actually gets to define you, and it's the one who made you. So someone said you're a loser, but they don't get to say that. They don't have the authority. Only the one who created you, creator, can talk about creation. That was last week. We're going to switch gears a little bit. And I was a little nervous about what we're going to do today, because I've tried to make it a tradition to do this once or twice a year, usually once a year. But all the help stuff in the world, and even theology, in my opinion, what does it matter if we don't know who we worship? What does it matter if we don't know who Jesus is? So we're going to take a walk through Psalm 23 today. Some people, this is a beloved psalm, right? Guys, get with me. This is a beloved psalm. But what's exciting is some people are going to hear this for the first time. They're going to hear Psalm 23 for the first time, or they're going to dig into Psalm 23 for the first time. So if you're listening online and you don't know what I'm talking about, what we're going to do is take some time to actually just read the Bible. No opinions or anything like that. We're just going to read the Bible, but it's going to display to us who we're gathering together for. And we're not going to talk about religion today or church or organized blah, blah, blah. We're going to look at the shepherd. Sound good? I think if you do that, it's never a bad choice, right, Bruce? How can we go wrong with that? So first thing first, I'm just going to go ahead and read it to you, because then we're going to go through it. Go through it and see what we can reveal. But I'm just going to read it to you. Why don't you close your eyes while I'm reading this, everybody, and get some images here. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See why it's so beloved? That's a beloved, beloved psalm. But here's the thing. David wrote that. King David, long time before Jesus came, but he was talking about Jesus, guys. Make no mistake. And before we jump into this, and this is me doing what I do, okay, before we talk about the shepherd, I have to put a disclaimer out. For years in my life, when I heard this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yeah, that's great, great. There came a time in my life when I realized I wasn't following that shepherd. I was following a shepherd that I had created. And so before we even get into this, we need to understand the Lord is my shepherd. This is talking about Jesus as he presents himself and for who he is. Okay? Not how culture says he is. Cultural Jesus is not the shepherd. Okay? Even some religious Jesus is not the shepherd. He's talking about who he really is the shepherd. And he's the one who leads me beside and makes me lie down. But the shepherd I had created, the one that would never let me get sick, never let me go through hardship. Anybody relate to that? I had accepted a false Jesus into my life. I had said, oh yeah, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you to make it so I never have to struggle financially. And I'm never going to get sick, and people are never going to hurt me. Some of us called it the prosperity doctrine. Anybody heard of that before? Name it, claim it, put your hands on it. And here's the problem with when you accept something that Jesus never said about himself. When it crumbles, your faith just decimates. When my dad got sick, when people left me, when people died in my life, the Jesus I had constructed could not hold me together. But Jesus, what? Wait. what do you mean she broke up with me? Like, I thought you said that you'd be with me all the time. I thought, what do you mean, Dad? Excuse me. What do you mean Dad's not going to recover? What do you mean Dad just passed away on a Tuesday morning? Jesus, you're not supposed to let people die. And Jesus goes, what did I say? And I went, oh, you said in this world there will be trouble, but fear not, I've overcome the world. So what I'm trying to say is, guys, today as we, because I can't do this. I can't go through the Psalm 23 and have us all be thinking about different Jesuses. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, let's go the other spectrum. Some of us believe that Jesus cares about what you do, where you go, the words you say and don't say, don't use these cuss words, don't hang out with this person, don't watch this rating on TV, and that's the Jesus we're talking about. That which comes out of the mouth makes a man unclean, says Jesus. No, but I don't drink, smoke, or chew, or hang out with chicks who do. That's the Jesus. Anybody? The legalistic Jesus. Thy rod and thy staff beat the snot out of me. Come on, that's funny. Well, think about it. It was clever. You got to get the real Jesus in this. He's the shepherd. Again, not the ones we create. I would love to go through again the seven I am statements in the book of John. You want to know who Jesus is? One day we'll do this. He says, I am seven times in the book of John. And now, just as an interesting side note, there's seven major miracles in the book of John, too. Seven's a big number. But he says several things. I am, I am, I am, I am. So as we look at this, I want you to just clear away churchy Jesus, cultural Jesus, angry, you know, what am I, judgmental Jesus. Thank you. I'm short on words today for some reason. And let's look at him for who he truly is and what he says about himself. We good? Let's take the journey together. But that was my story. And I tell you, like I said, when the Jesus I constructed didn't do what I told him he should do, it all fell apart and I walked away. And that's a lot of people's story. So, let's do this. Hit it, B-Rai. That handsome man behind the camera, that's Brian. It starts off and says this, the Lord is my shepherd. Some of us might not know this, but that capitalization, don't know if you can see it online, the capital L-O-R-D, what it's saying is this is a specific word of God. It's the tetragrammaton. It's a fancy way of saying when Moses said, I know you want me to go and talk to Pharaoh, but who should I say sent me? God literally said, Ichyach Asher Ichyach in Hebrew. That's how it's written. That's the unutterable name of God. So what I like about this, and I'm not just showing off that I know stuff. What I like is all of him, all of God, everything that is God is my shepherd. Do you understand what I'm saying? And for a Hebrew to say that, that's a big deal. Because some of us come from systems where God was way over there or way up there. I felt it before in some bigger churches. Cathedral-y ones. Yeah, cathedral ones. You're picking up what I'm putting down? I'm trying to be PC here. Where I felt that just God was over here. But he just said that big God over here, Ichyach, Asher Ichyach, the fire on the mountain, is actually your shepherd. Getting this, Brenda? You see what I'm saying? A bunch of Hebrews would have been like, no, he's fire on the mountain. No, he's not fire on the mountain. He's fire on the mountain, but he's also your shepherd. And again, David was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. It kind of hit me today. I know that's such a rudimentary thought. This is a shepherd saying, hey, wait a minute. What I do with these sheep, that's what God does to me. Wow. This starry-eyed, ruddy and handsome little young boy out in the field going, you know what? God's my, I shepherd them, but God shepherds me. And honestly, like, we want to get through it, but I could hang out here all day. Really? Because I would talk about what a sheep, blah, 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 shepherd, and all this. But this is a huge revelation, you guys. One of the things I will touch on is this. We're referred to as sheep in the Bible over and over again. And you know with the joke I always make here, and some people don't like it. I don't think Brenda likes it. But sheep aren't what you would call fiercely intelligent creatures, okay? They're somewhat notorious for getting themselves into trouble. I read you an article years ago, some of you. I read you an article, current day, 2014, a tragedy that happened in Israel. Two shepherds were eating breakfast, and they went a little too far away from the sheep. And the sheep just started walking and fell off a cliff. And then the next one, pile of them. I know it's graphic, but the newspaper was, until so many of them had fallen that the other ones were just bouncing off the, and not getting hurt anymore. Look, that's what happened. And I can think back to my life and go, Oh, I remember when everybody said to me, don't go that way, don't go that way, it'll hurt you.
But I did.
So then I look at God and go, meh, meh. That's a good impression because I got little kids and I have to. That was. I'm impressed. Sort of goatee, but. So we're referred to as sheep, and sheep do need a shepherd. David says, yeah, this is interesting because sheep are one of the only animals you don't herd. You don't go around them with cattle dogs and nip at them and cattle prod them. You don't do that. Instead, you lead them in a very interesting way. Number one, you go first. You lead them. I should have put up the background where, can you look at that? Look at that Jesus, you know, shepherd background. Okay. So you lead them, right, Mike? You go before them. And shepherds would tell you this, that sheep know and they follow their shepherd's specific voice. I've told you this before. I watched a thing where, they went to the watering hole and two different flocks came together. So the shepherds are just talking. It's still a job to this day, guys, in the Middle East. This isn't just, you know, history. Nice job. And so the sheep all intermingle and sniff each other and whatever sheep do. I don't know, play sheep bingo or whatever. Anyway, when it was time to be done with the watering hole, you know what they did? The shepherds each went back to their way and just said, come on. Yeah, come on. And literally the sheep just filtered out. And not one was in the wrong spot. And then Jesus says this too. My sheep, I am the good shepherd, he says in John. My sheep know me by my voice. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me by going first. He leads me gently and not with a cattle prod. He beckons me. And because of that, I shall not be in want. Let's go right back to it. Because he's my shepherd, although I may think I have need of stuff, he takes care of my needs. Right? These two aren't independent thoughts. It's a comma. The Lord is my shepherd, and because of that, I'm going to have everything I need. And David realized that. If a sheep needs something, Mike, I leave and I go take care of the sheep, right? Oh, that sheep got himself into a mess. Oh, that's deep. I could preach on that. But the shepherd still goes over and frees him, right? Let's keep going. Let's go to the next one, please. And being that Jesus is the one who leads my life, and even though he's fire on the mountain, he's personal shepherd and invested in my life, I'll tell you where he leads me. He leads me to places and he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Green pastures, the best places for me. A place where there's rest. And I love that it's a pasture. You want to know why? Because if it was the woods, that's where the predators are. In the pasture, you can see what's coming. They can be defended. These green pastures are the favorite place for a sheep, right? Food, sunshine, other sheep. Oh, I could preach on that. Give me a second here. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Yeah, I'm just going to go with it. It's so tempting in this life to not live in community and to live in isolation. But God will beckon you to put your make yourself vulnerable, push past the yuck, and get in relationship with people. That's what a green pasture is. It's full of other sheep, guys. And it's so tempting to just, guys, I live in Parrishville. You think I don't understand this? I live surrounded by woods, 365 degrees, and I don't like leaving my house much. I don't, whatever. Judge me all you want, judgers. But God beckons me into relationship with others. And you can't miss it. If the sheep are going to a green pasture, that's what he's saying. He makes me to make the phone call. He makes me to show up. That's true. Our best lives are lived arm in arm walking toward Jesus. That's our best shot at doing this thing. But other sheep sometimes are, don't swear. So other sheep sometimes aren't so nice. Other sheep are hypocritical sheep. Other sheep are, yeah, that's life. All of us in this room are hypocrites in recovery. Can I get an amen? Amen. A hypocrite is simply this. I want to live one way, but I fall short. I say I want to live one way, but I don't always act that way. Every single one of us, whoever walked the earth but Jesus. That's my little song I just made for you. We're hypocrites in recovery. So if you're listening online and church has wounded you, me too. Yeah, absolutely, because church is full of broken people. Why is this a weird thought? Well, you're still doing that. I thought you said you worship Jesus. Yeah, he's leading me, man. But I'm not there yet. Anybody? Yes. Right? Rest easy in that. The Bible says that he will not stop working on us till the day of Christ. And I'll tell you what, you ever get perfect, well, come on, it's not going to happen. And that's why I love the fact that we don't even try to be a perfect church. But we do need to live in community. That's what's in those green pastures, guys. And also, let me say this about green pastures. Let me see if you can relate to this. He's the one who leads us to green pastures. Even though we might not think that that's what's best for us, that's where he's leading us. I'll give you an example. Actually, I'll tell you the ultimate example in my life. For years, I pursued being a musician. I thought for sure all signs were there that I was going to make a living as a musician. I was making a living, but I wasn't doing, you know, prospering. But I trusted him to lead me to good to green pastures, right? Well, all of a sudden, the door closed on everything that I was doing. And I couldn't get a visa to return to England, where I was building my life. I won't go off on immigration, but it's difficult in other countries, too. Maybe you should realize that. So I end up back in the States, living with mom as a 25-year-old guy, living with mom and dad. Real winner, huh? Hot stuff here. 25, sleeping with mom and dad. I got a job, part-time working at a radio station. Denise, I can't tell you how much I yelled at the shepherd and said, "You're going the wrong way. This is not the pasture. What are you doing? No, come on, man. Oh, man. Over here. And then the doctor said, "Your father's sick."
"What?"
"Yeah, and he might not make it." And I went, "Oh, this green pasture? This is right where I need to be." And I you know, do you get what I'm saying? Like, "No, not this one. And Jesus goes, I'm leading. And where do I lead?" "Well, you say you lead to green pastures, providing what I need in my best life. And it might not always look the way you want it to." I think of Bonnie, my mom, who thought for sure she was going to go to 60% a few years ago at work at Kent Potsdam Hospital. That was the green pasture. Over here. This is what I want. This is what's best for me. Jesus. And then it doesn't happen. And what do? We all turn and go, "What are you doing?" Can anybody relate to that? That's not. And he goes, "Am I still leading?" "Yes." "Am I the good shepherd?" "Yes." "Then sit back and trust." Right? I know it's hard, you guys. I know. But when things don't work out the way you want them to, ask yourself two questions. Is he still your shepherd? And is he still leading? And when you arrive to those two logical answers, you can then conclude that you are where you need to be. Does that make sense? I'm just going to go, guys. People are so afraid of missing God's will. What's God's will for my life? What's God's will? Should I this? Should I that? Should I this? Should I that? Pastor, a long time ago, a good friend of mine, Adam, who might be listening, and if he is, I remembered this. He goes, "You know, people think God's will is this like slippery thing that you just, missed it. Well, number one, that's being totally destroyed in the 23rd Psalm. But he goes, "I kind of figure God's will is more like that, the side of a bowling alley. You know, that once you're in it, you really got to try to jump out of it." And that makes sense. That makes sense because for a sheep to go off the cliff, they got to willingly disregard the voice of the shepherd. Does that make sense? Okay. So some of us are so worried. Should I this? Should I that? Should I this? Did I miss it? And that's a huge thing. If you think you missed it, that's going to destroy a lot of things in the future. "Oh, I missed it. He's leading, guys. He's leading. Just be still and follow, right? All right, a nice little tangent, but I think some of that was important. Quiet waters. Cool little thing about sheep. Sheep have a bunch of wool, right? Sheep, if you're not careful, will walk out into raging waters. Their wool gets soaked in water, and they'll get swept away and die. It's the truth. They'll just walk in. All of a sudden, they're super heavy, and there they go. So what's the best place for a sheep? Quiet waters, still waters, says the King James, I'm sure. Still waters. It's another example of the fact that even the dangers we don't see, God is looking out for us, and these are his promises. Now listen, here's the cool part of this. I'm not saying this. Church isn't saying this. Culture is not saying this. The Bible itself, God himself inspired these words. These are the promises we have. Amen? Cut all the other stuff away. Let's keep going here. Doing okay on time. Proud of myself. Now, this top one, he restores my soul. This is huge. I have so many thoughts about this, but okay. He doesn't say restores my spirit. Sometimes I think what we do is we say, Yeah, the inner me. The inner me. He restores my spirit. Wait. Your soul, you could also use the word heart in this, okay? Soul is the collection of who you are, essentially. It's not your spirit. Spirit's the one that's going to go be with Christ Jesus. But soul is your personality, your experiences. Does that make sense, guys? That's soul. Now, the reason that's important is because he restores my heart. He restores who I am. Last week, we talked about shame, fear, and control. Last week, we talked about the fact that your father called you a loser. But Jesus is saying, I want to restore who you are. You bought the lie for all these years. But you know what Shepherd does? Tells you your true identity and who you are. He restores my broken heart. The inmost parts of me. Restore, restore. Anybody ever restore an old car? It's not good for much when you start. It's not good to look at. Doesn't do what it's supposed to do. But when you restore it, David's a shepherd and says, hey, I shepherd these sheep, but God's the one who shepherds me. And along the way, he makes new and he takes the broken down parts of the inside of me and restores them. Isn't that awesome, guys? Man, I get to sit in the office and be part of that process sometimes. And so do you people with those phone calls from family members or people who are struggling. And God's in the process of restoring their soul, their heart that got broken, got ripped up, identity issues. I love it because I used to think it was spirit. Your spirit is safe in Jesus Christ if you've made him your Savior. It's a process. He gave them the rights to become sons and daughters of God. Alex and Isabella are my two kids. It happened. They were born. I am their father. Nothing undoes that birthing process. Now, that is my opinion. There are other opinions out there, but that's my opinion, and that's what I read out of the Bible, that the adoption process took place. So this is a big deal. Your spirit is safe with Jesus Christ. No man shall take them from my hand. And again, the image in John is cupped hands. But your soul, your spirit's safe with me. But your soul, that part of you, I will continue to work on that. That's awesome, guys. That's part of what the shepherd does. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, righteousness is a weird word. Some say it's, you know, right standing with God. And in a way it is. You're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, right? You're my righteousness, Jesus, says the Bible. My right standing with God is you, Christ. But also righteousness is that conforming image to Christ Jesus. It says, for all the people God foreknew, every single one of us, he made it their destiny to become, to be conformed to the image of Jesus. I asked before, what's my destiny, mama? Says Forrest Gump. That was good. Our destiny is to be conformed to the likeness of Christ Jesus. Your destiny is to become like Jesus. The best you is the one that looks the most like Jesus. He's full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That was a fruit of the Spirit from Thessalonians, Dave? I don't know. One of the Onians, one of the teaching books. We're to be conformed. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, because the shepherd that's leading us, he leads me in the paths of the best version of me. What do the last words say? For his name's sake. Here's the thing. Who gets the glory when you grow and become the better you? God does. Boy, that Donna, she sure used to. But boy, what happened in Donna's life? They start to ask. Can you imagine? I'm a few miles from my where I graduated high school. People know me. Brian and Pam attend here. I used to ride the bus with Brian. He knows some of the dark stuff from the past to me. But when Brian sees me now, and I'm a loving father and a faithful husband, whoa. That's not the dude that I met back then. That growth process, what must have happened? Oh, you follow who? Oh, you have a shepherd? Well, maybe I want to be one of his sheep. Get that? And that's kind of what happened with Brian and Pam anyway. Brian started coming here saying, if you can change that guy, yeah, you get it. It's for his glory, you got it. It's for his glory, absolutely. Let's keep going. I'm almost done. This is a big one, you guys. This is a big one. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I have a lot of thoughts about this. I've been around the shadow of death too much in my life with my family members, in the hospital rooms and the hospice and all that. But can I tell you something I rejoice in? And God has been so faithful in my family, starting with me, to reveal who he is to my family and to my friends. So those hospital rooms that I've been in, glory to God, the shadow of death was there, Mike. But here's what I realize. For the believer, for those whom he's shepherding, it's just a shadow. Amen? It's just a shadow. It'll pass over, but it's just a shadow. Oh, grave, where is thy death? Where is thy sting? I can never... Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Death, where is thy sting? Something like that. You see, we do the same. For the believer, death has no power over us. Jesus said on the cross, tetelestai, and that means it is finished, done. Everything that was required, done. And so the shadow passes, Bill, but it's not real. Death has no more power over the believer. So even though I walk in the hardest situations that a person can face, I will fear no evil. No evil circumstance, no evil outcome. I will fear nothing because now I'm fully taken care of. Let me just really hammer this home. What can actually happen to you? What's the worst thing that can happen to you? Something tragic happens and you wake up with Savior Jesus? In a place that words don't describe? One-on-one with God outside of time and space? Oh, poor you. You see what I mean? Oh, I'm so sorry, sister. Right? What can really happen to you now? Whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? What can really happen? Some suffering for this amount of time compared to eternity? Really, it's just a shadow, y'all. It's just a shadow. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes it really stinks and it's really hard and that shadow is long and dark and cold. I get it. I get it. But it doesn't change the fact that it's just a shadow. Shepherd Jesus, King Jesus, is shepherding us, and this is what we are guaranteed. And I didn't say it. He did. That's the beauty of it all. These are truths right in this beautiful psalm that we can apply to our lives. Now, I'll fear no evil because you're with me. I have a slide to do this. I'm going to skip over to a different psalm, which is a book in the Bible. It just means song. I have 145, Bri. And it says, the Lord is near to all who call on him. So I will, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. And this one says, in a different spot, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Number one, anybody that can hear my voice, if you call on God, he's there. I didn't say it. This just did. Number two, if we have people we are concerned about in this life, friends, family members, children, who we feel like they need to call on God, here's your promise. The people you love, if they ever call on him, he will be right there. And that's awesome. I got two little kids, but I can imagine in 20 years, if one of them just tends to be one of those sheep that wanders, I'm going to just hang out on this and say the moment someone turns to the Lord Jesus Christ, bam, I hear your call. I am near. Also, I'm not going to do time and space, but just maybe God isn't relegated to a throne in heaven and not right here. Gets me through the night, guys, sometimes. Understanding that we live, here we go, we live in three physical dimensions plus time. God occupies all 10, quantum physics says. And so God can be nearer to us than we can even perceive, but we just can't perceive it because we're stuck inside this cage of four dimensions. But God can be right there. And in fact, he says he is. Now, why is that important? Because when I'm laying in bed at night and I'm worried about my children and I'm worried about what's going on and I'm playing worst case scenarios in my brain. Anybody ever do that? And the heart rate starts going and then you get hot. So you take the sheet off, but then it's freezing and then you have to put it back on. But now I'm sweaty. So come on, anybody play that game? But if I remember that God is right here and will be tomorrow that I'm worried about, maybe I go to sleep and maybe I have peace and maybe I stay in that green pasture and by those still waters because I know that he's near. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because no matter what people have said, no matter what I have done, no matter what I fear, you're near me. You're near. Let's go back to it, Bri. I will fear no evil, no bad situation. No. Come on, guys. Look at our country right now. How many people are fearing evil? Well, you have a choice. You can choose to fear evil, ignoring the fact that God is right next to you in that armchair and in whatever office you're worried about. Booyah. Or we can realize, I'll fear no evil, for you're with me. Now, this part's cool because this is where his shepherdism really comes out. Because your rod and staff comfort me. Hit clear, bro. Bri, please. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. What we see there, if you can see this online, do you see the picture of... Okay. You can see the staff. Now, here's the cool part of it. And as I look around, we're all living different stories. And I don't know everybody online, of course. But we're all trying to be... We're trying to follow the shepherd, right? And we need guidance. And what we see here is an instrument that David says, this is how shepherds lead sheep. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. That's a staff. And it's got a hook at the end. I think last time we talked about this, I said it doesn't have a cattle prod at the end. Right? It doesn't have that. It's not sharp. It's not blunt. It's gentle in its leading. And I like that. I like that because I'm going to wander because I'm kind of stupid, man. And I like that every time I do that, I'm not getting my leg broken. I like that. But I'll tell you my favorite part. I got to give credit to Walt Geiger, who better be watching this. Last time we gave this message, I spoke erroneously. I didn't know what I was talking about. That's my confession to you. I thought the rod was the bottom part of the staff. No. Apparently the rod, Walt was watching a special. And if you know Walt, Walt knows his stuff. If he knows something, Walt knows something. And he said the rod was actually a smaller, hardened stick that the shepherds got really good at throwing. And they could throw at crazy velocity with crazy accuracy, he says. He was watching a documentary on it. He said, so the staff was there, but the rod was, it was meant to kill. It would kill. If wolves came out into the green pastures, if wolves came out, bam, put them down before he got to you or your kids. Yeah? Your rod and staff, they comfort me. I love the fact that when I go astray, you're going to gently bring me back. I like that. And also, for my family, for me, I love the fact that you will slay anything that's going to come out and try to dismember me and take my life. Yes. Sometimes, guys, it's hard. You know, you're hearing this stuff, and you hear these promises from God, and sometimes it's hard to let him in. I don't know about you, but they're hard to let him in. But then I became a dad. I can receive it when I hear that it's for Alex and Izzy. So that's sort of like a side door that I use to receive these promises. Oh, you're near me. No, you're near Alex. Okay, I can get down with that. And that excites me, and I can receive that. Does that make sense? Sometimes the love of God is so bright, like this light in my face. Don't think I didn't notice. Sometimes it's so bright and so big, but when then you think about your kid receiving it, So the rod and the staff are there for our children. Because the enemy's going to try. The enemy came to steal, kill, and destroy. And he goes around like a roaring lion seeking for those whom which he can devour. But Jesus has a rod and a staff. Oh, that was a good combination of those two. This comforts me, and it comforts the psalmist too. Can we go back to the words, please? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So even though we go through the hardest things in our life, God is near and there's nothing to fear. And that's reality. Okay, let's keep going because we're running out of time. I'm getting hungry. I'm tempted for fast food, but anyway. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. A lot of folks don't know what this means. Let me tell you what it means, because it's awesome. This is Hebrew tradition, where if you sat and dined with someone, it was a mingling of reputations and a full acceptance. Zacchaeus is in a tree, and he says, Zacchaeus, come. Jesus says, Zacchaeus, tax collector, crook, criminal, come down from that tree. We're going to eat together. And people went, there's got to be a meme for that somewhere. Because if they ate together, that means they mingled their reputations. That means that each person accepted the other person. So Jesus accepted Zacchaeus. So if you, Heavenly Father, prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, that means you accept me fully, and other people are going to see that you accept me and love me. Even the people who don't think I'm worth your love. Oh, there we go. Good job. Some of you won't like what I'm about to say. And that makes me happy. I'm weird like that. Some folks think, oh, everybody gets saved in prison. Oh, yeah, jail. Okay, you ready? good. Good. There are people sitting in jail whom we would sit there and say they're not worth God's love. What they did, this, the path they took. Well, guess what? I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you a story because I don't want to come in too hot. My mother, my birth mother, made some bad choices. Chose not to follow the shepherd. And that's a choice we all can make. You got free will. I'm not your dad. Really. Did you follow the shepherd or follow yourself? I don't know. She chose to follow some things that led her in some really dark places, one of which was long-term jail sentence, drug addiction, mafia. It's a whole thing. Never got to know her because of it, unfortunately. And she died when I was 24-ish. I don't even really know. I never got to meet my birth mother. And that's rough. I'm sure it jacked me up. I'm still working through it, I guess. But think about with her. But there are people who would say, some people in my own family probably, who would say that she's not worth saving or couldn't be saved. And those folks are the enemies that Jesus will sit in front of with my birth mother and dine with. And show them, thank you, and show them, oh, no, 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 this is my beloved daughter. And in front of all of them, people will see that Jesus fully accepts and loves and shepherds you. There are people who say you're not worth his love. There are people who say you're not worth anybody else's love. Go back to last week. They say you're a loser, not an overcomer. But in the presence of all those haters, enemies, whatever, I will stand with Jesus. And they'll see it. It's true. That's what he's saying right there. Absolutely, in the presence of mine enemies. So, number one, know that that's real for us. Number two, be careful to never be an enemy. Someone who says that this person cannot be, or not that, or you don't know what they've, knock it off. Don't be that person. Okay? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is through Christ Jesus, where you can be saved. Salvation comes through Christ, right? To all who believe. Through Christ to all who believe. Through Christ to all who believe. But knock it off. Knock it off. You don't have to like it. See, I told you some people wouldn't like it. Too bad. There's parables. I'll get going. There's a parable in the Bible where the people don't like what Jesus says. Well, how come these people worked all day and you only worked a couple hours? Why'd you pay them the same? Why did you show really good stuff to all your kids? And he goes, none of your business. End of parable. Am I wrong? He doesn't explain it. He goes, he's the Father. It's his money. He's the Father. It's his grace. It's his mercy that he pours out. Right? So what about Joe and Betty beer can down the road? None of your business. Your best bet is to pray for them and wish what's best. Keep your prison cells empty because they just might be dining with Jesus. Yeah. Boy, Psalm 23 is hot, isn't it? Isn't it good? We're almost done. You anoint my head with oil. Everybody in here has a purpose. Anointing is giving purpose and the power to do what needs to be done. You don't believe me? David had been anointed. He knows. His head literally was anointed with oil. Remember? Samuel shows up in a town, and this little boy whose father said, you're not my son, go back to that message, says, were these all your sons, Jesse? Oh, I forgot this other one because I don't love him. And he says, David, come here. Samuel does, and if you could understand the gravity of this, he anoints his head with oil and says, David, you're accepted. You now have a purpose, and you are now endowed with power to do what needs to be done. So let me say this to every single one of you and listening online one way or another. You now have purpose, you are accepted, and you are endowed with power to do what needs to be done. Understand? Yes. I didn't say it. This does. You anoint my head with oil. You give me purpose. You give me acceptance and the power to do whatever needs to be done. My cup overflows. Abundance. Let's keep going. Almost done. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Some days you might just need to tell yourself that and remind yourself that, guys. Some days when it doesn't feel good and you don't feel love, you choose what you believe in this life. This is God's truth. This is how you feel and what you see. And every day we have a choice. Do we believe what we see and what we feel, or do we believe what is actually true? And guys, you ready for this? Especially young people, this is good. They can't both be true. Either goodness and mercy will follow, mercy, love. Goodness and love will follow you all the days of your life, or it won't. How many days, Robin? Oh, but remember you went through a really hard season when this and this happened. All. That's good, man. Don't you love that? I'm falling more and more. You're watching me fall in love with this song more and more. But it doesn't feel that way, right? But which is truth? Either goodness and love are there for you at all times to access, or what they did to you was just too bad and you're going to suffer. Or I'm never going to be in a good place again. Or this is true. Don't we love this thing? All right. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to close by saying this. Jesus says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. I go to prepare for you a place, and I will take you to me. In Hebrew culture, I know it sounds nerdy, but it really helps make things make sense. Because the people at the time would have gone, oh, okay. He couldn't talk about iPhones back then. He had to talk about what they, right, to be understood. What actually happened was, I want to pick on somebody. Never mind. The father, let's say, so the patriarch, it was a patriarchal society. Abraham, there you go. We'll use Bible people. Abraham made a living and prospered. So he had a really big tent. He had children. And when the son would go get married, they would put an addition onto the existing structure where that part of the family would live. Then it would boom, 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 thus increasing Abraham's, you know, property and possession, and the family grew and grew and grew and grew. Jesus just said, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you and bring you to myself. And they would have gone, oh, like the marriage ceremony. Wait, wow, so we're going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Oh, I hope you heard that online. She goes, yeah, baby. That's awesome. Yes, get excited about this. Dwell in the house. Wait. So fire on the mountain God, Ichyach, Asher Ichyach, is going to let me move in with him? Yeah, I could dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Like we did with my dad when I married my wife? Uh-huh, exactly like that. That's awesome. Isn't this cool, you guys? All right, I'll power it down because you can tell I'm fired up and I could go be here till forever, but... So here's the thing. I touched on this before, but there are days when you're not going to think he's leading you, but he either is or he's not. There are days when you feel like you don't have a shepherd, but you do. Big, powerful God who's great enough to meet all your needs and who's so good and so in love with us that he's near at every moment and choosing to shepherd us to green pastures and still waters. So take, you know what, this week, go ahead and read Psalm 23. It takes like 2 seconds. Read Psalm 23 and mill over these things. Get that truth deep down inside of us. The Bible says, I've hid your word or written your word on my heart. That's how we do it. And when life tells you that this isn't true, we hang on to this. Amen? All right, let's sing a song. Let's sing Good Father. Anybody feel like singing Good Father? Let's do that one. It makes me feel like...
Well, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased in. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, I've seen many searching for far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you, it's who I am, tremble. I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love, love. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are, it's who you are. I'm loved by you, it's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. One more time, you're a good, good father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are. And I'm loved by you, it's who I am. It's who I am, it's who I am.
Lord Jesus, we want to thank you. We declare today, each person that can hear my voice, we declare that, Lord Jesus, you are our shepherd. And maybe today's the first time I've ever asked you for that, Lord Jesus, but I want to be one of yours. I ask that you would bring me to yourself. I want to follow you, Lord Jesus. Please just save me, lead me, guide me, forgive me. Make these promises count for me, Lord Jesus. I choose to believe you are good because of who you are. I choose to believe I am loved, and that's now my new identity. So, Father God, we pray that you would help the words of Psalm 23 just fill our hearts and minds, Lord, and to kick out the junk that's not true that we've believed, maybe for all these years, about ourselves, about you, about others. May your truth shine through, and may your love break through and mend our hearts, Lord. We thank you. Today we rejoice just so, so much for who you are. So, Father, this week, please remind us of these things, and may we even be transformed by your truth. We always pray. We always rejoice in one name and one name alone. And that's the name of Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We love you and worship you, Jesus. Amen. All right, everybody, have a great week. Thanks for joining us.